Climatech of Professional Air with host Travis Thompson.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. speaking this morning with Travis Thompson of Climatech of Professional Air. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. I am so happy to see you today. How are things?
Good. Things are good. Everything's still busy, moving right along.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. We were talking a little bit during the break about I have a brand new house and still learn so much when we speak, about what I need to be doing to be a responsible homeowner.
Right.
And one of the best things that I think happens here in our time together is when people have, real life questions and they're able to call in, get them answered. Or I'll just ask you everything I want to know about my own.
No, that's perfectly fine. And that's honestly one of the reasons that I was even excited about doing this show. When we first started talking about it before I did one, I enjoy talking to people about what I do and what I do know. I'm not great at everything, but I feel like I know a lot about, the air conditioning world and our climate here, because it's what I've done my whole life. So I enjoy questions. I enjoy, giving my advice for what it's worth. And I try to be very generic in my advice. I'll give people advice, but at the same time, I understand that everybody's a little different. Everybody's situation's different. You were just speaking, a brand new home and you've got a brand new air conditioner. Okay, I'm not going to tell you need to run out and buy a new AC, but there are a few little things, very simple things you could do to just monitor things and make sure that the air conditioner in your home is doing what it should. And it's small things that people just typically don't think about. It's kind of like changing our filter. You don't think about it until something makes you think about it. So that's why I always recommend, when you get your power bill, that's a good time to change your filter. Anything you can do that's a trigger, with our new cell phones, of course, putting it in your calendar, anything like that's a good trigger. My trigger is my wife actually telling me to change the filter.
That is a classic.
That's bad, but it's the truth.
I like that when you get your power bill. That's a good one. Because I definitely get my power bill more than I change my filter.
Yeah, so we use that one for years. Before cell phones were out, that was kind of our go-to because it was an easy, every month you're going to get it. It's just an easy way to trigger a memory to do that. And that's the way we always said it.
I like that. That's a good, because you're going to get your power bill. So
absolutely.
Without fail, that will happen.
They won't forget it. That's we use them in reference as well to our, when we're selling a system and you're looking at a higher efficiency system, you may pay off a lot of things in your life, but you won't pay them off.
Hey, that's so true. Oh, man. Right. So if you're looking for the right business to get it, maybe that's the one. Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Travis, about your just great depth of knowledge. Like you said, you have done this for a long time. You have probably seen all kinds of situations, good, bad, and ugly.
Seen a lot.
When it comes to people trying to keep their air clean in their home is really kind of the driving factor here, right? It's like you want healthy air to breathe.
That's right. Comfort is what everybody feels. You're going to know if you're not comfortable. Keeping it healthy would be right along with that, though, and that's something that a lot of times goes overlooked. As far as my expertise goes, I don't ever consider myself that, because I always know there's a lot of things that I don't know and a lot of things that I'm still learning. Our technology in our industry is changing daily. So we're constantly trying to keep up with what's new, what's coming, what's working, what's not. And I think that's the same for any industry. And I do my best to try to stay ahead of it and up to date. So, and again, my opinions I try to give based on each individual.
And I think that is something that sets Climatech of Professional Air apart, that y'all are on that leading edge. You're making sure you're in touch with what's coming down the pike industry-wise. I could imagine it'd be easy to think, I grew up in this, I've seen it in and out, but But it, like you said, it, just technology in general has changed so much. It's probably impacting and disrupting every industry, including air care.
It has. It has. And it's very similar to the, always seem to relate things to the car industry, but the car industry is the same way. You know, it's developing year by year. There's more technology, newer things. Everybody's on the cutting edge. And, you know, it's bad, but it's good. You just have to get used to change. And that's something that people typically don't like, but it is what it is. And, you know, when you look back, once we've been with a newer technology for a while and everybody's used to it and accustomed to it, then it's a good technology. When they first see it, it's scary, but they get used to it.
So true. Change is hard.
Yep.
But that seems to be, you know, 2020 is just giving us every opportunity to get better.
Absolutely.
At being flexible and going with the flow. And so again, yeah, this is a great time. If you have questions, call or text 850-437-1620. We have a text message question that says, I see on your website that you have special financing for storm victims. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah, it's a you can do it any way you want to, but some of our financing is set up for short term. So if you only wanted to finance for 12 months while you're dealing with an insurance company, there's some really good rates available for that shorter time frame. You can go straight to the website. There's a link there you can click on. You would probably want to talk to us first to kind of know what you're looking to do, but certainly can go there, click the link, fill out the forms, and be approved right there, right away.
Awesome. And I know last time I said the website wrong, so this time we're going to get it right. It is climatechproair.com. And the phone number, Travis, if people want to give you a call?
850-857-4700.
That's easy.
857-4700. Yes, ma'am.
4700. So give a call, check out the website. Lots of great information available on there. And I know one of the really awesome services that y'all provide is this 21 point maintenance inspection. And we wanted to let people know about that today.
Sure. The maintenance inspection is something that we've recently even changed it, kind of tried to upgrade it some as to where we were. And the way I explained it to my guys, because we actually came together as a team and I asked my guys, I said, you know, what do we want to do? How do we want to do it? And I wanted them to visualize being, let's say your grandmother lived three states away and you're at her house. What would you want to do to her AC before you left to make sure that everything you could possibly do was covered and checked and you knew that it was right? So that's kind of where we sat down and started talking about the inspection to come up with the 21 points. And the 21 points are not just looking at the unit and checking the Freon. We've got a specific list so that we can tell by looking at that list when we leave, even if I didn't go to the house, if I can look at the list that the technician filled out, then I know that everything on that system's working like it should be, right down to the Freon levels being perfect. Because there's lots of indicators from, for one example, we use superheat and subcool, and that's something we talk about a lot in our technical talks. But with the superheat and the subcool measurements of the refrigerant in a system, we can tell a lot of things about the system. We can indicate dirty filters, dirty coils, low airflow, low refrigerant levels. We can indicate a lot of things with those. And it's not a hard measurement to take. It just takes an extra step. But we get those measurements. We have certain things that are sometimes overlooked. One of ours that we dove into a little bit that not everybody was pleased about, but we wanted to do it, is inspecting the ductwork. Just getting up there, putting an eyeball on what's going on. It doesn't mean we're actually going to dig through every bit of the insulation in the attic to uncover the ductwork, but we want to see and look for indicators of leaks. Is the tape letting loose? Is the foil barrier on the flex line starting to deteriorate? Lots of things like that we see that a customer may actually see and not even know it's a problem. Just kind of putting our eyeballs on it. And even if we're not going to sell anything from it, just making the customer aware of what's going on.
I think that's probably the most valuable part, is that there's no obligation here. We're just trying to diagnose, figure out what the situation is. And like we were saying, you've seen it. So someone, you know, just even if you got up there and crawled around in your attic, you might not know what to look for. So
that's right.
Here's a great way to let the professionals come clue you in on what's going on with the 21 point inspection. I love your why behind it of, you know, like if you're leaving Nana over there three states away, How would you want her to be set up?
Right. That's right. And that's, to me, the way we want to, you know, that's a way we kind of want to build that in our company, as a, whether you want to call it a motto or whatever it is, but that's kind of how we want to think about the customer when we leave them. And it, you know, if we leave somewhere and something happens, I take it personal, and I probably shouldn't, but it, I hate it. You know, if I do, and it's machines, it's mechanical, it's going to happen, but I just really take the stuff personal. And a lot of my guys are the same way. So we do our best to be, you know, the best company we can be and not leave anybody with a problem after we leave.
So good. That is so good. And we do have a call coming in right now from Nathan in Gulf Breeze. Good morning, Nathan. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Hey, good morning. Love the show. I got a question, though. I've lived up in Tennessee before, and there were some talk of, like, some homes that had geothermal heating and air conditioning. Is that even an option down here where we are? Are we too close to the ocean with the water tables and such? Is that not an option?
No, it actually is very much an option. It is an option here. It's a great option, especially out towards the beach, because a lot of you can actually move the compressor in the house and get it out of the elements. The water table actually helps us disperse heat. So, no, it is very much an option here.
Is it very cost effective to do that, or is it something where it's like cost prohibitive for the normal?
That's the one thing that is always a topic of conversation, and it depends on what unit you're comparing to what. There is a large cost associated with putting the geothermal wells in, but that cost can vary depending on where you're at exactly and the getting the wells in the ground. But you do have the cost of the wells versus the unit itself. So the units are probably pretty comparable if you look to an air-to-air, high-efficiency, say, 20-SEER system and a geothermal system with the same SEER rating. Those prices are probably going to be pretty comparable, but then you've got to add the geothermal wells on top. And the geothermals do go by an EER rating, not a SEER rating. And what that basically is doing is, on a really, really hot day, when it's super hot outside, your geothermal unit is going to be more efficient than your air-to-air unit by a pretty good bit. But you have to look at your energy cost and how many years of payback it's going to take to put those wells in. So I'm not saying that it's better or worse, but it is definitely an option, and it's something that kind of, again, has to be taken on a house-by-house comparison to look at what your budget is and how much money it's going to save you on power, and is it worth it in the long run.
And then also, what is the footprint for those kind of things? Do you need to have so much yard space to be able to put those wells in, or is it something that's not very big?
Well, they don't do horizontal drills here very often. They do go straight down, so it's not a huge area, but it is a sized area that you would need at least a small area of yard to give up for those wells to be put in. Like I said, they go straight down and back up, so they're not laying out in your yard, you know, the size of a football field or anything like that. But you do have to have some, not only a yard available, but access for a drilling rig to get, because a lot of people want them behind their house, which is understandable. And if you've got houses really tight to each other, you may not have room to get a rig in the backyard to have that done. So that's another consideration.
Okay, all good points. So most of these residential areas that we have are, I mean, you're sitting probably about 20 to 30 feet between homes, so not much room to get a drill in there, I'm sure.
Well, if you don't have fences in the way, that's probably adequate room with that kind of space. But then we do have some subdivisions, as you know, that may not have 10 feet between them, and that obviously won't work. But a lot of that depends on, again, is there a fence there, or is, you know, does your neighbor have really nice yard work that you don't want to mess up or anything like that? So some of that may come into play.
Okay. And then the average cost to actually get one of those put in, what would you say, guesstimate? I mean, like $10,000 to $15,000, or?
On a geothermal?
Right.
I would guess it a little higher than that, because you're going to spend probably a lot of that number you just threw out there, you're going to spend a lot of that towards the wells themselves, and then you have to have the unit itself put in. So I would say a little higher than that. It's real hard to give an average because there's so many different SEER rated systems you could choose from, and then what the wells are going to be. And again, you've got everything from a 2-ton up to a 5-ton, so there's a broad range there. So it's real hard to give a ballpark, but I would estimate a little higher than that for an average.
Okay, well, hey, I appreciate that. That's it's food for thought. I know, it, like you said, it's you got to do the payback. How long it's going to take to actually break even?
That's exactly right, and that's what I like to talk to the customers about. But that's what it really boils down to in the long run.
Okay, again, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the call.
Thank you so much, Nathan, for giving us a call. That geothermal system, that stuff is really very interesting. It's like a fascinating way to do things. And
it is.
That conversation just made me wonder, you know, how with energy efficiency, when it comes to solar panels, there's been some incentives to move toward more renewable. Do we see anything like that in the case of something like geothermal?
There are. And they kind of move around. You know, you have to keep your eye on them. There are some from the government. We've had some in the past from the local utilities. But those things do move around. So it's kind of a month by month or year by year thing. You have to look into what's available at the time. But yes.
Good to know. Thank you so much, Nathan, for this interesting question. If you have a question, we have some time left. Give us a call or send a text, 850-437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruth E.C. I'm speaking with Travis Thompson, Climatech of Professional Air. And so if you have questions about your filter, like I always do, or the efficiency of your unit, or, you know, the health and well-being of your duct system. If you, especially, I know we're getting farther from Sally, but that doesn't mean the aftermath is over, as I'm sure, as far as people are noticing things going on around in their home. Are you still seeing a lot of business related to that, or is it kind of just normal season-changing stuff?
A little bit. It's pretty normal now. You know, there's occasionally one here and there. Like I said, that's why we did the financing on our website. A lot of people are still tied up with insurance and things like that. So we were given the option, hey, if you want to have it dealt with, because like I think we talked about the last time I was here, you don't want to let that house sit without air conditioning. That's not good or healthy at all for anything in it. So you want to keep it dry. So we did that. But yeah, it's not crazy. It's not rampant, but we just seeing little spots of it here and there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Maybe that means that things are starting to just even back out. We'll get back to our regularly scheduled chaos and do it that way. We had a text, just a comment from a listener who says, I've had a geothermal unit for the last 15 years. Wouldn't have anything else. If anybody's thinking about getting one, now is the time.
Yep. And we've got several customers that have them, love them. You know, and that's, we hear that. It is a nice system. There's many different types of geothermals out there. So it's something that, again, you can't just throw a blanket statement over. And there's lots of different ways to do what we do.
Very interesting stuff. And so basically, my very limited understanding of that is that you dig the wells underneath the house and use water to regulate. Is that right? Versus air through ducts?
It's not through ducts. But for instance, when your outdoor unit is running in the summertime, that unit, the fan on the outside of the house, is pulling the air from the outside through a coil to cool Freon off to extract heat out of the house. So instead of using the air from outside to cool that refrigerant down, we're actually sending water down into the ground, cooling the water and bringing the water back up cool to cool that refrigerant with cool water, as opposed to cooling it with the air temperature outside. And that's why the statement I made earlier, you know, when you're dealing with a water temperature in the ground, you have a constant temperature. You know what you're dealing with. Whereas when we're dealing with air outside, when it's 98 degrees outside, we're trying to cool Freon with 98 degree air. When it's 75 outside, we're cooling it with 75. So that variation is why you see air conditioning systems that are not geothermal use a SEER rating. It's a seasonal average. And you see geothermal units use an EER because it's always a constant. You can measure that outdoor temperature because you know what the groundwater temperature is.
I didn't even realize that technology had been around for that long. This person's saying had it for 15 years. So this is not news. It's just not like
geothermals
typical.
Have been around a long time. It's just the added cost of the wells. Typically, you know, they shy people away because it is an extra cost, and you do have those other things we considered, you know, the yard and having the room to get it in and whatnot.
I'm thinking now, this would have been great a year ago when we were still under construction. maybe to think about. So if you have a new build going on or plenty of space, of course, like you said, for the, if the, you know, fit the rig in your yard, that might be Something to think about, something to consider.
It definitely is. Like I said, it's a great way to get the efficiency. It's great because you know the water temperature, you know what you're dealing with. There's nothing wrong with the technology at all. Strictly budget.
Oh, gosh, that word.
There we are again.
There it is. There's a catch somewhere.
And that's right.
Well, and so, Travis, what is happening next for your team? Y'all have got this awesome revamped 21-point inspection system. The storm damage seems to be getting under control. So are you just getting ready for seasons changing?
Yeah, we're fixing to be doing a lot more heater tune-ups and heater calls. I think the weather right now is not really showing anything crazy, looking out a week or so. But that'll be the next thing for us, getting used to some heater calls, kind of shifting over the truck stock on the trucks, because you do wind up using more of one or two parts than you do on the heat pumps. We still have a lot of heat pumps. That's the majority of what we find in town here. And those, for the most part, take the same parts. So that's not a big deal. But there are some gas units that haven't been fired up. So we'll get a lot of calls about that. People turn them on for the first time and they smell smoke and they don't know if it's good smoke or bad.
Oh, that's that a great point. Stuff. Yeah. Is there a good smoke?
Well,
you smell?
What you have is for a gas furnace, any dust that makes its way through your unit settles on the exchanger, which is what gets really hot to warm the air. So when that exchanger gets hot for the first time, you typically get a smell of some sort in a home. And anybody that's got a gas unit is going to be used to it. They're going to know, they're going to smell it the first time it comes on. So you get a little bit of that trickling in here and there, but that's about it.
I had heard before about opening up your windows, maybe, like, don't wait until it's really, really cold the first time to kick your heat on.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe do it on a day just so you can circulate that back out of your house.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you've got a nice dry day where you could turn it on and get that out of the way, you could do it where your windows could open. And some houses, you know, if you've got a really good filtration system, you don't get a whole lot of it. And that's actually a little bit of an indicator. You know, if you get a really strong odor when you turn it on for the first time each year, you may want to have your filtration system looked at, because if that dust is making it to your heat exchanger, it's also making it to your coil, which is not where you want it. So a really strong odor right there might be some kind of a lead indicator just to tell you, you know, maybe you want to look at the filtration system and see if something's going on there.
You just made me think when you said dust, the metal grate that goes over my filter, mm-hmm. That's been really dusty lately.
Well,
like to blame my dog.
They do contribute. Believe me, I talk about my shepherd a lot, and he is his hair. But yeah, it's an indicator. It's just the air going to your filter, so that's completely unfiltered air, and anything that comes across there can stick to it. If you burn a lot of candles, you will actually put a little wax in the air that will help things stick, and it'll make that worse. But most of those grates come off. If it doesn't come off, you can unscrew it, take it outside and clean it, or you can clean it in place. But that's just the air headed to your filter, so it's going to be dirty air for the most part. You know, whatever is in the house is headed that way.
That's a great idea, because my thought process was, well, I'm going to dust this off and some of it will come off on the rag, and then a lot of it's just going to blow right back. taking it outside.
Turn the unit off. Maybe I should have said that. Turn the unit off first.
We're starting very basic over here, Travis.
That's good.
First
You're
things
good.
First.
Yep. Turn the unit off. Actually, that's actually a good rule for anybody. Anything you do to your unit, turn it off. You know, if you're cleaning the drain line, turn it off. If you're checking the outside unit, turn it off. You know, turn them off. Don't try to do anything with them running, even changing your filter, because a lot of that dirt will build up on the corners where your filter goes in. And when you pull that filter out, a lot of that stuff that's sitting there will get sucked around the filter and give you a little bit up in your coil. So, you know, it's always best to turn it off.
Very good advice. And just in the last couple minutes here, is there anything else, like just thinking about this time of year, what calls you've had coming in recently, any other tips you have for people?
No, I think, like we were talking before the show started, you know, talking about just something to monitor humidity in the house. That's a very, I was talking to another customer about that yesterday. It's a very simple thing to do, to have an idea, because I have a lot of customers that will tell me, you know, I want a dehumidifier. Okay, well, why do you want a dehumidifier? Well, What's your humidity? Well, I don't know.
No idea.
Right. So we see our temperature because it's on the wall, and we know our temperature, but a lot of people don't know the humidity. So there are a lot of thermostats out there that'll do it, and we can provide those, but there's also small little devices, you know, that you can do to monitor that and keep an eye on it.
So measure before you make a change.
That's right. Know what you got.